You said your mother did a lot of sewing. Did you have certain clothes for school and others for Sunday wear?
Very little special clothes we had, and those days you could buy prints at Tundra store. Well, for a while there, my grandfather was in partnership with the Tundras, and you could buy nice prints for 10 cents a yard. And too, in them days, you would get they would buy feed, different kinds of feed, and flour and things like that. And it all come in print sacks. So those sacks were all ripped apart and washed nice and clean. That's mainly what our clothes was made out of. And like for the two little boys, well, you could buy the heavier material and she'd sew their little pants. And
did y'all go to church regularly?
every Sunday we never missed, and we'd have to hitch up the horse and the buggy and go to churches. We went to my grandmother's house. They just lived about 3 blocks from church. There we unhitched the horse, and from there we walked to church. But we never missed church unless the weather was terribly bad, then we could, because we just had an open buggy. All we had over the top was a big yellow umbrella with tassels all around it.
Really?
And if it rained or the wind was very cold, why, that wasn't too much protection. And we had those days, everybody had lab ropes, they called them. These heavy blanket-like things. And I remember my dad fixed some about the size of this lab rope out of a tarp. We didn't have plastic them days. We had tarpaulin cloth. And he would fix a lab rope out of a tarp as big as this other lap robe was, and we put it over the top for protection of rain or the cold wind too. But other than that, we had no way to be protected from the rain.
What were those lap robes made out of?
Well, I
Were
don't
they
know. It was
wool?
kind. No, I don't know if it was wool, maybe heavy cotton or. It was,
Where did you get them?
well,
Did you buy them, or how
oh
did you get
yes,
one?
those you could buy. I remember we had one, it was gray and white with tassels around it, and we had one that was yellow and white. Those were our two lab ropes we had. Then later on, when the family increased, why, had the two little boys. He had my dad. He used to have a blacksmith forge, and he built a little folding seat, and he put some strong tarp over that for a seat. You know, you could fold it together then, or you could open it. When the weather was nice, this was put in front of the seat and the buggy. And the two little boys sat on there, and I sat between mom and daddy on the seat. Then we were a full house in that buggy.
That was a one-seater, huh?
That's right.
Oh, babe, okay. What did y'all do for recreation?
Nothing but shuck horn for the hogs and milk cows, put it that way.
In other words, you didn't play much.
You know, let me tell you this. We grew up next to the river, and we all four of us grew up and never learned how to swim
No
because we
kidding.
were not allowed to go to that river alone. In the summertime, you talk about recreation, our biggest pleasure was if we get through a milking and separating the milk and things like that, if it was a moonlight night, Mom and Daddy said, now everybody take your night clothes under the arm and your towel. We'll walk down here to the crossing, which was a few hundred feet away from the house, and was beautiful water, rock bottom. You could look through there 3-4 feet deep, see every gravel rock in the bottom. No mud, nothing nowhere. And Dad usually would go in there and kind of play around the water a little while in case there'd be a snake there, because sometimes they would be around there. And then we could all go in there and we could swim around that water a little while, about knee deep. We were never allowed to go deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our recreation. And we looked forward to a nice moonlight night that we could go down to the crossing and take us a swim.
I bet.
We put on our little night clothes and we went up the hill to bed.
Well, did you have much company, relatives visiting?
Not really. People just didn't have a way to get around those days, but quite often we'd hitch up the horse and buggy and we'd go visit by the Joe Manns. They lived about a mile and a half up the river. And the DeMontels, we'd go visit there. And the Louis Mayers, they lived out Queehee way. I remember we used to go out there several times and visit them. And but other than that, we never really went anywhere a whole lot. Till we were through doing our work and things, we didn't know nothing about going anywhere. Until later on, then, when we grew bigger, they would have dances, but those days they only had dances Christmas, maybe Easter, and 3 or 4 times a year at the most.
Mm-hmm.
But then that first was when we grew up.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were little, we really didn't have no.
It was just more the family together, and you were busy all the time trying to make a living.
Right. And until we were through with our chores in the yard, and it was an everyday chore. When we get home in the evening, or when evening come, even before we went to school, about 4 o'clock or 4:30, well, we had to go out with the little red wagon, and we had to get our chips in and our kindling wood and our wood for the stove. And if it was cold, we had to bring a load or two in for the fireplace at night. I remember my two little brothers, that was shortly after my mother died. They were always, you know how boys are. Each one wants to be boss, so the big one always told the little one he should pick up the chips, put them in the wagon. He got to where he didn't see why he should always pick up the chips, and Joe could pick up the big wood, firewood. So he got mad one evening. He said, all right, I'll do it now, but you wait till you get little and I'll get big. I'll fix you.
That's cute. He was good at then. He was going to switch that deal.
Right.
Okay, you said after your mother died, did you get any outside, any help from any of the relatives or anything in any way, because that was a big loss?
We had one special good cousin, which happened to be your mother. And they would come to visit, not often, but every few Sundays they would come to the house. Because your grandfather had about one of the first cars, I guess, around, those days, and they would come to visit, and her name was Lenora, and she would always say, well, the little boys are short of little clothes or this and that. And she would take the pants, the good part of old worn out pants that her family had, and she would make little pants for my two little brothers. She would sew. Mm-hmm. She sewed beautifully. And then out of the shirts and things, she would make them little shirts out of these feed sacks and things. Or even out of the good part, when the work shirts were wore out, she would take the good part then and make little shirts for the two little boys. And as for me, well, I didn't have too much clothes, but if I'd get a new dress, maybe a nice kind. Those days they used to have the boil. If you had a boil dress, you were dressed. And every now and then she'd make me a little boil dress with ruffles on it, or lace edging or something like that. And then I had one aunt in San Antonio. She'd come out now and then, and she would bring us a little clothes like that. She'd make it, and she'd bring it out. But other than that, we got along. Of course, we didn't need much good clothes because we didn't go anywhere.
Right, so then that meant after you were put in that position at age 13, you were the one that was out there on the rub board washing the clothes and doing all of that
stuff. Those days we didn't have these wash powders and things. We still had to build a wood fire under the wash boiler, heat our wash water, and then carry it into the tub. And the two little boys, then when they grew a little bigger, why, they'd wear overalls. My daddy always wore overalls. But I was a little too weak to do any rubbing on the board with those overalls. So Dad bought me one of those hard bristle scrub brushes, and I would lay a piece of that homemade soap next to it, and I'd rub the brush on there and lay my overalls on that rub board, and I went after them with that scrub brush. But I got them clean. And those days, you didn't have your clothes washed or cleaned until you went and put them in that boiler and boiled them at least 30 minutes in another soap suds after you had rubbed them. Then you would take them out of this wash boiler with a stick, old broomstick we usually had. Take them out of there, and we had a tub of water next to the fireplace. Drop them in there. Rinse them out of there, and then carry them over in a bucket to another tub of plain water. Rinse them out of there, and then you had a tub next to that with your bluing water in it. Mrs. Stewart's bluing. Your clothes wasn't complete unless you rinsed it through that Mrs. Stewart's bluing in that last tub. Then you hung it out, and then you had pretty white clothes.
So it went from the rub board to the tub to boil, and then in a tub there to kind of cool it down before it went through the other two rinses. And then on the wash line. No wonder it took all day.
It did.
Oh dear, okay.
It took all day, and then we had floors that were just, if you want to put it the right way, splendors, mostly splendors. We had no painted floors or linoleum or finished floors of no shade. We would take that wash water then, that soap water, put it in a bucket, take that scrub brush, which I used for the rub board, and go in the kitchen and around the stove. They usually had tin where the grease and things would maybe spatter. And whatever other dirt was, then we would take that soap suds and take that brush, get on our knees and scrub them boards with that soap suds with this brush. And then we had a bucket with plain water, fresh water. And then we used to do it on our knees just by hand, but then later on they got the mop stick where you just put, and we had no mop heads them days. We would take a piece of old pants, a wore-out shirt or something, put it in this mop stick. We put a lot of that clear water on the floor, and then we have to rinse that mop out again and wring it out and dunk up all that old water. But we had pretty nice clean floors after we did
it. I bet you did. Oh, dear. All right. Then at what age did you get married?
I was 19 on the 7th of April. We got married on the 29th.
Okay, and who did you marry?
Howard Sherhart.
All right. Now, what kind of work did he do at the time you married him?
He was already a barber.
He was a barber. Mm-hmm. Now, where did he go to school to learn to be a barber?
He went to the Lewis Barber College in San Antonio.
Okay. What prompted him to be a barber? Why did he decide to do this?
Well, like many times he has told this story, that he worked on the farm for his dad. There were 10 children in their family, and he was the oldest, and they would rent land here or there and do dry farming, and for 12 people at the table, there wasn't too much coming in doing farming like that in them days. And so when his brothers grew up a little bit, why, he would go out and he'd work in different places, at dairy farms and things like that, for hauling gravel or when they built roads and things like that. So he got tired of all this. The last job then, he has said many a time, he had to get up at 4 in the morning and milk a bunch of cows, winter and summer, and then in the evening he had to do that same work again. And as he grew a little older, that kind of got old to him, and he wanted something better, so he went and he borrowed money from Mr. Ed Sherhart. Borrowed him the money. That was Blackie Sherhart's daddy. And he went and he said he'd like to borrow money from him. He said, well, what do you want to do with this money? He said, I've decided I want to go to barber school. And he borrowed him the money, and he went to the Lewis Barber College. He had to go to school 6 months, and he got his barber degree, his certificate. He come to Castroville, and he opened a shop.
Where was his first shop at?
In Castroville.
Mm-hmm. What location?
It was in the same location where the News Bulletin office now is.
How many years did he stay at that place?
At that place, I really don't exactly know, but I would think about 8 or 9 years, mm-hmm. possibly 10. I don't really recall exactly.
Okay. How much did he get for a haircut or a shave? What were the prices when he first started?
Very little, I'll tell you, according to what it is now. Anyway, when we got married, and before that, he used to get 15 cents a shave and 25 cents for a haircut. And when we were first married, many a day he'd come home, he'd say, well, I had one shave today, 15 cents.
Mm-hmm.
But we paid $10 a month rent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we really had a scrape. So we lived in one, in two rooms at his grandmother's.
Where is that located?
That's next to the Legion Hall.
Okay. Downtown. All right.
And we paid her $5 a month. And for the barbershop, Mr. Ed O'Mangle built him a little shop then. And he paid him $5 a month rent. And the light bills then, when Mr. Lawler brought the lights through, your light bill was $1.49 mm-hmm. for your lights and your water monthly. That was our, at the house and at the shop. And them days, they used to have the little blackboards in the barber shops, and they'd come by and they'd put their initial on there. And across the street from there where the theater now is, used to be a pool hall, Green's. They had a filling station there, and then a garage, the young Bill Reen, he worked on cars. And they'd come to Castorville. The only time he made a little money was Saturday, unless it happened to be Christmas or something like that. But they'd come to town, they'd put their name on this blackboard, and they'd go across the street, they'd play pool. They would come to town, say, 3-4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, later on. And then they'd go play pool maybe till, well, 12-1 o'clock when the pool hall closed. Then they'd go across the street for their haircut, their 25-cent haircut. He sat all this time under a 40-watt globe waiting for them to come over so he could make this 25 cents. And it always was 1 or 2 o'clock Sunday morning when he'd come home, because he would sit there and wait for them to come and get the haircut, because we needed that money.
You mean that he couldn't, that he didn't go, he didn't dare go across the street and tell them it was their turn? He
waited. Oh, no, he just waited for them.
My word.
And if he made $8, maybe $9 or $10 on Saturday, that was a big day for us. And he had to wait for that because, well, we had to eat and we had to pay our rent and we had to pay the light bills and the water. And
well, at that time, when you were first married and he had this first little shop, did you do anything to help support him, support the two of you?
Well, I did about as much, I guess, as he did. But my daddy, when we got married, he said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a milk cow. Them days, everybody had milk cows and raised butcher hogs and things in town. And he said, and then I'll bring you a load of feed down every now and then. Oh, fine. And it was a good little cow. Her name was Daisy. And she had good rich milk. We raised 13 calves out of her and sold a calf every year to the butcher. Mm-hmm. And I would milk old Daisy cow morning and evening, and I, well, we had no ice boxes then. I would pour cheese. Them days you'd make your own cottage cheese, and when you had, when the milk was soured, while clabbered, while you heat it on the stove and pour it in these nice little white sacks, hang it on the wash line till it was dripped out, and then you took it in and you would crumble it in a vegetable, round vegetable dish, or one of them old-fashioned soup plates I usually had with the deep center. Fill that with cottage cheese, and in the wintertime I'd set the milk leftover milk. The house we lived in then had these wide windowsills. I'd set my milk on them by morning. It had nice thick cream, and I'd put about a cup of that thick cream on it, and I had more customers than I had things to sell. I sold that for 10 cents a plate.
That was the cottage cheese?
With that cream on it. Mm-hmm. And the milk, fresh milk, I could sell all I had for 5 cents a quart. And the cow, to feed the cow, it didn't cost me none, because them days you would just... I remember we had a little chain around her horns with a little snapper on it, and this little snap, we had a rope with a little ring on it. I put this snapper on this little ring, and I go stake old Daisy Cow this corner and the next day at the other corner, all along the streets. And people appreciated it, because that's what kept their lots clean. Anywhere you could go and ask, can I stake my cow here? Oh, glad to. Mm-hmm. That's how we, and a lot of times in the evening then. By then we had a little Model T coupe car, and we would drive out along the roads and the outskirts of town and cut this Johnson grass. Mm-hmm. Tied in bales, you know, bring all we could load on the Model T Ford, on the bumpers and on the fenders and wherever we had room, bring in for a few days, feed like that. That's how we made our first living.
Well, then how long were you married when Joanne was born? What year was she?
About 10 months.
10 months, okay. Uh-huh. So you had a family within a year's time then, too?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And all of our friends at that time that married about the time we did, whenever they had their babies, they all stayed at home. Mm-hmm. But I happened to be the unlucky one. I had to go to Santa Rosa Hospital, and I was in there for 2 weeks, and... that's the only time I was ever in a hospital.
Is that?
I'm knocking on wood.
My goodness.
And anyhow, after I got home, I was laid up another 2 weeks, but my mother-in-law, with all the children she had, she took me in there, and she was real good to me. And that Dr. Bill went for those 2 weeks at the San Rose, and we had a specialist. He was just 29 years old at the time. But, of course, them days everybody wanted Dr. Herf. Dr. Herf, well, he couldn't take care of everybody. So he told this doctor, Dr. Rupert Lundgren was his name. He's still living today. And he's still in the Nix Hospital. He's 80 years old now, but he's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the doctor we had for Joanne. And our doctor bill was $600.
Oh, my.
We had not 10 cents to our name. We didn't have no money. And... this Dr. Lundgren, he said, well, you just don't worry about things like that. He said, whenever you have $2, you send them to me. And if you have $5, you send it to me. He said, you'll get it paid. Fine and good. And that's what we did. And I remember so well when Joanne was already a little girl walking around, he come to visit us one day when he come to Castroville. And we had a young dog that my daddy gave to us too. And he was real good with Joanne and was around her a whole lot. And he come out, this doctor, he said, my, but you have a nice young dog. Oh, I'd give anything in the world. He said, I'll give you $10 for that dough. And we hesitated a little bit, and Howard said, well, I tell you what we'll do, Doctor. you just take $10 off our bill and we'll give you this dough. And that's what we did. Well, so our bill was $10 less.
How long did it take you to pay it?
At that speed, I would say at least 4 or 5 years. But we paid it. We paid our $600. But then later on, we had quite a few hospital bills because Howard has had his 10th surgery just last May.
So oh my.
You wouldn't believe it when you see him that he's gone through all that. But he always comes out of it smiling. So
that
we still say we've had a wonderful life.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. Well, then when did you go to work at a job anywhere later on?
Yes. Along with this tending to my Daisy cow and all like that, I went and I did a little sewing. And those days they used to have patterns with the smocked pockets on it on the dresses and smocked yokes. And I remember I sewed several dresses for Mrs. Joe Schott, Lucille. And I used to work on those things for a week, perhaps. And I got 35 cents a piece to sew them. Mm-hmm. And then I did some house cleaning. I know I used to clean Mrs. Louis Schott's house. And when you cleaned for her, you didn't just run over it. You cleaned. And that was window washing, windowsill washing, and on your knees in the corner and the washboards and everything. I used to work a day and a half and sometime 2 days to complete the job. It was 35 cents when I was through with the job.
That seemed like sort of a standard
right.
A pay.
No, you didn't dare say more than 35 because I don't know if you'd get more than that them days.
What year was that? What time could we place that at?
Well, let's see, about in 36 or 37, I would say.
Okay.